come to you now in the name of Jesus. And we just say thank you again, Lord, for all that you have done, that you are busy doing in our lives, and the things that you will do for each one of us who are called by your name in the future. We're so grateful, Father, that you sent your son Jesus to die on that cross because of your amazing love for us. So again, we just say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, are we ready?
Yes.
How many of us enjoyed James?
Yes.
Huh? Man, there were lots of challenges there, am I right? But I was just amazed. As I said, that was going to just be a kind of one message on James that we started off. And it ended up by being 12. But there is so much. And folks, go onto our website or you get them. We put them out onto the groups. But listen to those things again and just remind ourselves of the challenges that we see in the Word of God. Because it's no good just knowing about the challenges. We need to hear the Word and then we need to start to apply those things in our own lives. Is that right? So then it's always a challenge. You know, where do we go to today? So I trust that I've got a very interesting, maybe a challenging message for us again today. And the title of today's message is, Life's Journey Must Finish Well. Let me say that again. Life's journey must finish well. Now, the journey of life, sometimes in the Word of God, is illustrated as a race. Is that right? We see that in the Bible. And you and I are in a race as we journey through life. And it's not so much, folks, about, you know, finishing first. It is really making sure that we do our utmost to finish well. It's about finishing this journey of life well. And we need to keep our focus if we're going to finish well. Because there are so many things out there, so many distractions that can get us to lose focus on those things that we should be focusing on. You know, right throughout the Bible, we see, you know, people that actually start off well. They start their journey really, really well, and yet they finish badly. We see people who run well, and as they progress, they seem to stumble, and they fall, and they just don't seem to be able to get themselves up again. And yet we see people that start really, really badly, but finish well. Isn't that amazing? So I want to encourage us all here this morning, no matter how you've been doing on your journey of life, there is still plenty of time, we trust, for us all to be able to finish well. But to finish well is about making the decision. We're not going to just finish well without making the decision to finish well, right? And for those of us that are actually have been running this race of life well so far, I want to encourage all of us. Just keep it up. Keep on going. Don't slow down. Don't let those little foxes come in to distract us. Okay? Don't slip and then finish badly. And there are many people, as I say, who run this whole way, you know, right from the time that they get born again. They run well, and yet they seem to stumble and fall. You've seen people like that, where you meet these people and they are so on fire for God. And you see them 3 years later, you bump into them in the shopping center. How are you doing? You know, oh no, we don't go to church anymore. In other words, they've really just kind of walked away. And yet, when you saw them 3 years prior to that, they were absolutely on fire and things were really going well with them on their journey. I'm just saying, let's make sure that is not you and I here today. So today we're going to be having a look at a person in the Bible who I believe is a great example of somebody whose journey through life finished well, right? We're going to be having a look at Paul the Apostle. Now, Paul, we know, did not start well. Is that right? He didn't start well. Paul was a serious, serious persecutor of Christians. And, you know, he was adamant. Every opportunity that he had, he would ensure that people were put in jail or, you know, he was hounding Christians. You can read about that. But what happened, I mean, Paul was even there. I was just thinking about it. He was there at the stoning of Stephen. Remember when Stephen was stoned? There Paul was, you know, giving his support and giving his approval and kind of clapping his hands and just, you know, all that support that he was giving. And yet the Lord gave Paul an opportunity to have a fresh start. A fresh start. So the Lord may be doing the same for you. I don't know where you are with your walk. Right? We don't know where each other, where we are, you know, as a church, individually, where we are with our walk. But it might be you that is going to benefit from this message where you can see that the Lord, as he did for Paul, that he will do for you and he will do for me, right? Give us a fresh start. So if you need a fresh start, today is the time to embrace it wholeheartedly. Now, Paul's last act was one of faithfulness. It really was. It was one of faithfulness when he was actually facing execution in a Roman prison. And yet, he was in a Roman prison, and yet Paul was one that we know that finished really, really well. So let's see this morning, folks, what we can actually learn from Paul so that you and I can make sure that we run this race of life, and that we really do finish well. And remember, this Paul that I'm speaking about, this is the same Paul that wrote approximately 2/3 of the New Testament, you know, under the anointing, under the unction of the Holy Spirit. So listen to what Paul says to Timothy as Paul now approaches death. And now this is 2 Timothy 4. I'm going to be reading verses 6 to 8. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. But just a little bit of a background here. So Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him to pursue the call of God on his life. And I believe that this message is for all of us, that we need to be encouraged to pursue the call that God has placed on each and every single one of us. Amen? We really need to do this, folks. So he's speaking to us here today. So let's actually start from verse 1 so that we can actually get the context of this. So this is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Now he speaks to us. There's most of what he's saying is to you and I. There's one or two things, maybe it's more for leaders in the church, but most of it is for you and I. The first thing he says, preach the word. Folks, that's an instruction. We see it all over the Bible. We need to take every single opportunity that we get to speak the word, to preach the word. And you don't have to be concerned about the person that you're sharing the word with. Really, the preparation of their heart will be done by the Holy Spirit. But our job is to preach the word. Then he says, be ready in season and out of season. Let's make sure that's us. He says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So for us, not only should we tell people about Jesus, but folks, there's a responsibility on us as we grow in the things of God to be those that teach other people. We should maybe be looking to somebody that's a baby Christian that we can stand with them and assist them and mentor them on their journey as a believer. But let me say this. He said that we need to, you know, be those that are teaching. And for us to be somebody that teaches, we need to know the word. We need to know the word. So there's a responsibility on each one of us to get into the word of God and to know the word of God. He goes on to say, now this is when it gets interesting. He says, for the time is coming. Now remember, this is written about 2,000 years ago. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. How's that? How is that happening today? People don't want to hear sound teaching. He goes on to say, but have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. So, and goes on and he says, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. This is what's happening big time today on planet Earth. Folks, people say, well, you know, I'll go to such and such a, you know, church, but I will go there. But if I don't like what I hear in that place when they share the word, I'm out of there. I will go somewhere else. I'll go somewhere where I'm satisfied that, you know, what I'm hearing is what I want to hear. And folks, this is a scary thing. These people will say, I don't want to hear about sin. Don't tell me about sin when I go to church. Don't tell me about hell when I go to church. There's one of the biggest churches in the United States of America right now. The guy will not speak on hell. He will not speak on sin. And you know what his reason is? Oh man, they've had such a tough week. These people, they're going through such tough times. Right? I don't want them to come here and they have to hear about sin and hear about hell and all of that. Folks, this is exactly it. We start to, you know, have churches. We call, you know, churches churches. But in actual fact, we land up by being motivational speakers and only telling people what they want to hear. I'm telling you, I've thought about this often. I will be very happy if we just have five people in this church, as long as the truth of the gospel is actually going out. And I've seen people come into this place. And I've seen people leave because they don't like to hear what they're hearing here. I know that. People don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about hell. They don't want to hear that Jesus is the only way. Oh, brother, you know, all roads lead to God. No, that's not what the Bible says. People don't want to hear that, right? They don't want to hear about the virgin birth. You know. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear about the resurrection of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In other words, people coming into church, cherry-picking what they want to hear. And if they're hearing stuff that they don't want to hear, then they will be out of there. Oh, brother, don't talk to me about the extension of God's kingdom and my responsibility about finances, for example. Oh, and people tend to then think, well, somebody else can do that. I'm not doing that. Folks, we need to make sure that we don't fall into these categories. As for you, always be sober-minded. This is verse 5. Endure suffering. Now, folks, whether we like it or not, you hear a lot of messages about, well, if you get born again, you become a child of God, oh, gee, life runs so smoothly for you. You go and tell the early Christians, believers, that that's the fact. Huh? You go and, you know, say that to Paul the Apostle. Well, what, once you got born again, you know, life is just a bed of roses. It just runs so smoothly. Folks, even the word, in fact, Jesus said there will be trials and tribulations and difficulties. And in actual fact, God put some of those things there. It's scriptural. And the reason is to prepare us for the eternity that we're going to be moving into. He says, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering. The scripture says about suffering that it develops Christian character. If we go through these, if we handle trials and tribulations and difficulties the way that we should, it develops our Christian character, and this is something that you and I take into eternity with us. He goes on to say, verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. This is now Paul in prison. I'm being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. Paul has said, hey, this is the end of me. He goes on to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, we need to somehow, you know, reflect on this a little bit. And let's be honest, if you know, the Lord came back tomorrow, would you and I be able to say that right now, today? I fought the good fight. I'm really in a good position in terms of being ready for my Creator. I have finished the race, my race. Can we say, I have kept the faith. Verse 8 says, henceforth, there is laid up for us a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on the day. So Paul is saying, man, you know, I'm done here on planet Earth, but there's a crown that is waiting for me. But watch what he says now. And then he says, not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing, all who have made a decision to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Amen? That's us, folks, right? So we need to get a perspective. The Bible's very clear when it talks about don't love this world and this world system. We need to be living with eternity in our hearts and ready and prepared for the soon return of the Lord. Now Paul is nearing his execution as he writes this. But something's very interesting here. He is still concerned about others that need to receive salvation. Isn't that amazing? Here's a guy, he knows he's going to be taken out. So he encourages Timothy and he says to Timothy, discharge the duties, you know, of your ministry, Timothy. And I believe the Lord is saying that to us today, that we need to be those that discharge the duties of our ministry. Now, the question is, how is it that Paul, who is now facing execution, just put yourself in this position. How is it that Paul, who's facing execution right here, he's coming to the end, he's coming to the end of his race, he's coming to the end of life's journey, and he can still be focused on other people coming to Jesus? I mean, imagine that. And I think, you know, as we read this, maybe we should be asking ourselves and challenging ourselves with this. Are we concerned about people out there that are not saved? Are we concerned knowing that they are destined to spend eternity in a real place called hell? And yet Paul, as I say, even on his deathbed, he's worried about these people. So again, the question, you know, let me ask you. You want to know how, and you want to know why Paul is in this place, why he's able to do that. And it really, the answer to that question is that Paul is focused on the eternal, and Paul is not focused on the temporary. That's the difference. He's focused on eternity. He's walked his walk, he's run his race, and he is focused on what is coming. And folks, we need to be those as well. You know, let's ask ourselves the same question. Are you and I ready? Are we living our lives with eternity in our heart? Which is so important. Because if you and I are living with eternity in our heart, and really are, you know that we'll be living in a different way. We really will. So if we are going to finish well, we must also be focused on the eternal and not on the temporary, just like Paul. So, question is, what does it take to finish well? I'm so pleased you asked that question. What does it take? Let's just have a look what it takes, because he talks about this. So, finishing well requires what he calls fighting the good fight. Is that right? Okay. Verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. So maybe our question then should be, what does fighting the good fight actually mean? What does it mean to fight the good fight? Now, it's interesting because Hebrews, we don't know who the author of Hebrews is. There's always been a debate about that. But the book of Hebrews describes fighting the good fight as running your race with perseverance. Running with perseverance. Especially as we continue in our journey with the Lord. Because sometimes, the problem with many people is the longevity. You know, we're all enthusiastic when we start out, but as we've been going years and, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years and so on, we can lose the passion and the drive and the desire, whatever it is, we lose. So Hebrews speaks about this. So let's see what it says. This is Hebrews 12 verse 1. It says, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside, Nate tells us, every weight. So if we are on a journey, is it a good idea to carry weights that we don't need to carry? So he's saying, whatever's holding you back, whatever is heavy on you that shouldn't be there, get rid of it. Lay aside every weight. And then he says, and sin, that's a big one, which clings so closely. Isn't that right? Sin comes in, comes knocking on your door. Man, we better make sure that we kick it out before it kind of tries to get a foothold into our lives. He says, and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. And that word endurance means that we run with perseverance, the race that is set out before us. Now again, we need to look at ourselves. I really believe so. Does what I've just read to us over here, does that describe you and me? Are we doing this? Okay. Are we making sure that we're getting rid of the weights? Are we making sure that sin that's so that tries to cling to us, that we get rid of that, that we don't allow it in? Are we those who are running this Christian race with endurance? Or folks, and I don't believe there's anybody here. All right, let me say it like this. Okay, this is for the other churches. Okay, all the other churches, not our church. But we have to ask ourselves a question. Are we playing church? I'm asking us. Are we playing church? Are we just going through the motions? Okay, well, it's a good thing to go to church on the Sunday, wah-wah. Church is important, but folks, it's about having a relationship with the Lord. And there are many people sitting in churches this Sunday morning all around the world. I'm telling you, are pew warmers. Just go there because it's the right thing to do. Just saying. Going through the motions. Not us, eh? Huh? Folks, the Christian life, let me say it like this, is not a walk in the park, right? It's not an easy life. And like I've said, if we see people, you know, saying that, well, once you get born again, it's just it's a smooth ride and so on. This is not what the Word of God says, okay? This Christian life is not a walk in the park, and the Christian life, when we are obedient and we are committed to the Lord, it's not a life for sissies. It really isn't, okay? Becoming a Christian may not necessarily make your life easier. But there's a couple of things that it will do for you. When we are in the midst of the storm of life, you know, how many of you have noticed that there come at times in our lives, there are trials and tribulations that come along? Anyone here? Oh, okay. Life is like that. There are difficulties at times. But as believers, and if we are tuned into the Lord and that you're faithful to Him, I can tell you right now, in the midst of your storm and in the midst of my storm, you and I will experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. In the midst of it, we will just be at total peace. Not only will we experience that peace, but we will also be able to experience a joy that the joy of the Lord is our strength right in the midst of a crisis. And that is why we need to just continue, right? So folks, we must really persevere. We need to persevere. This is what I'm trying to get over to us. We need to persevere. We need to fight the good fight. So the question is a good fight? I made a note to myself here. Yeah. So is the good fight is it what we are fighting for? Are we fighting for the good fight, okay? Because if you and I are fighting the good fight, there are two things that actually go hand in hand that you and I should be fighting for. And I want to just speak about those two things. Is that okay? You want to hear what we should be fighting for? I'm going back to Hebrews 12 verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are also surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. And then it says, let us run with endurance. Another word for endurance is perseverance. Okay, the race that is set before us. There's a race that is set before us. And let me say, your race is not the same as my race. Your journey is not the same as my journey. It's set before us. Look into Jesus while we are on this journey or race. Look into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So I said there are two things that we need to be making sure that we fight for. And the first one is we need to fight against the hindrances. We need to, that's what he says, the hindrances. We need to fight against the sins that seek to come in and invade our lives, invade our space. That's a fight. That's a fight. You better believe it. That's the first thing he said. And then the second thing that we have to fight for is we need to fight to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a fight. It's an ongoing battle. We need to do this. Folks, let us not keep our eyes fixed on the hindrances. Let's not focus on the sins and the temptations that Satan comes along and will actually throw at us. He's going to continue to do that. Now, again, I want to say, I mean, you know, we've read from Timothy here. We've also looked at Hebrews. But I need to say, this is not as easy as it sounds. Well, not as easy as it sounds, okay? And this is why it's a fight. This is why it's a fight. It's difficult, and it requires a battle. And so often we're not prepared to fight and engage in that battle. We need to be prepared, folks, to step out and fight for these things. Remember, too, that we are just passing through. Don't love this world and this world system. We are passing through in our 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it might be, and ultimately, we are preparing ourselves for the big picture that we're going to be going into. So, finishing well not only requires fighting this fight, okay, but it also, it's finishing well requires finishing your work. Now, the Lord has given you something to do. He's given me something to do. What is it? As we draw close to the Lord, and we ask Him, He's going to reveal those things to us, what He's called us to do. And Paul tells Timothy in verse 7, he says, I fought the good fight. And then he says, I have finished the race. So, what is the task? Let's ask ourselves, what is the task that the Lord has actually given you to do? What is the task that the Lord has given me to do? They're not the same, is that right? Okay. And let me start off by saying this. If you are in any doubt about this, let me help you. Because maybe the starting point is going back to two instructions or two commands that the Lord has given all of us. And that is what we would call the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul. We need to be doing that. And also the Great Commission, okay? Going into different places. It's our Jerusalems, our Judeas, our Samarias, and to the end of the earth. Opening up our mouths and telling people about Jesus. That's what we need to be doing. Now, it's quite interesting. Now, Paul, in Colossians, you know, it's like he's talking to a friend. And as I was processing this, we are his, let's call Paul our friend. So this is Paul speaking to us. This is what he says to his friend, a friend in Colossians 4:17. He says, see that you do the work which the Lord has given you to do. What is it that the Lord has given you to do? God gave Paul, very clear, a special mission for his life. And really, what is it that the Lord has given you? What is the Lord that has given me, you know, to complete while we are here on planet Earth? And folks, we should make sure, first of all, that we do the basic things really, really well. Okay, the general things, like I mentioned, the you know, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We should all be doing those things. So if we do the basics really, really well, when we do the specifics that the Lord tells us to do, it's not going to be marred and kind of, you know, haphazard. So starting off, we need to make sure, let's do the basics right, and then we inquire of the Lord those things that we need to add, that He has specifically for us. Like I said, starting off with loving God, the way He wants us to approach Him, and loving people. And then, as I said, the specific task that the Lord has for you and for me, when we do those basics right, it's not going to mess up what He has for us. Is that right? Okay. So really, us not following His plans for our life, if the Lord is speaking to you about certain things that you need to be doing, and if He's speaking to us and we are continually saying no or putting it on hold, and when we come to the end of our journey, life's journey, I'm telling you something, there are going to be regrets. There are going to be regrets. Because now we are moving into an eternity in His presence, and there are so many things that we could have done. Once we're there, we're there. And thank goodness we're there. But we're not going to be able to do those things that He wants us to do now. Does that make sense? So if you and I are really going to finish well, Colossians 4:17, see that you do the work which the Lord has given you to do. And again, folks, if we don't know what it is, let's ask Him. He's not going to keep that a secret. Huh? He's not going to, I'm going to just not let you know. Ask Him. We have not because we ask not. Ask Him what it is, and He will tell you. And then finally, you know, finishing well requires faithfulness to Christ. To Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight. I just see this guy in prison. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. We need to make sure that we keep the faith, right? And it's interesting because that is the one thing that is your responsibility and my responsibility. Amen? Keeping the faith. Keep it. Again, let's not allow anything to come in and mess with our relationship with the Lord. And let's hear what He's saying to us, and let's be those who not only hear, but we actually do what He's telling us to do. So we continue then to place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:1. Now, this is the definition of faith. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about faith here. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Is that right? Okay. Now, it's very interesting, and this I don't know, this was a big revelation for me and helped me, and maybe you haven't heard it, maybe you've heard this, what I'm going to say right now. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. That word, word, is, it can either, you know, that when you see word in the Bible, it can either be the Logos word of God or the Rhema word of God. Is that true? The Logos word of God is like the Bible, right? That's all God's, you know, it's the word, but it's all the words. Jesus was the living Logos with everything in Him. But Rhema, folks, is when you read something in the word, it's the word of God, and something happens. It's like you get an understanding of it. It's like the lights come on. Now, what's interesting about this is that so often we hear the, you've heard the term, name it and claim it. Have you heard that term? People think, and this is the revelation I had some time back that really helped me. But people think, because you say it, Well, because you're saying that it's now going to happen. And in other words, it might be a health, let's use a health issue. Okay. So the word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Is that true? So by the stripes of Jesus, when you read that, that is the Logos word of God. But when you meditate on it and it suddenly has life and you have revelation of it, it suddenly becomes the Rhema word. And now when you say it, you're saying it, you know, because you've, it's like, as I say, the lights have come on. So you can either, you know, the name it and claim it, you can walk around and say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, and think that you're going to get anything. The answer to that is, you're quoting the Logos word of God, and you're not going to get anything. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, by the, and we say it 1,000 times a day, and because I've said it, I'm going to get it, wah, wah, all of this. It's not going to happen. It's, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. As soon as that verse becomes Rhema, that's when it comes on. Right? So that is when it becomes powerful. So there's a big difference, you know, going around quoting scripture and just saying, you know, because I've said it, it's going to happen. That's not going to happen. It's when you and I quote scripture and we quote the Rhema word of God, that is when it is powerful. Amen. Is that helpful? I mean, that was very helpful for me when I got a kind of understanding of that. But now in Hebrews 11 verse 1, it gives us a definition of faith, what faith is. We know that we need to walk by faith. We know that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, there's a whole lot of scriptures tied to faith. Now, here's what we would call a definition. Hebrews 11, 1, it says, faith assures us, so there's an assurance of the things we expect. Now, when you expect something, you haven't seen it yet, is that right? So, faith assures us, it says, of the things we expect, and convinces us of the existence of the things we can't see. So we can't see that thing, but we've had an encounter with the Lord, and faith in us convinces us of the existence of the things that we cannot see. So that's really what, you know, what faith is. So if we're going to finish well, and that's what I'm speaking about today, we must be faithful and follow and do what the Lord has told us to do. Simple. This is so uncomplicated. We make it complicated. And it's interesting too, that even if we don't know how he's going to work it out, because so we don't know, is that true? We don't know how he's going to work it out. He will give you and I the faith to take the next step. And we need to use this faith that we have so that we finish well. Now, I'm going to say something here because, well, let me just say. Faith is sometimes spelt R-I-S-K. Okay? That's how you spell faith. And I need to qualify this. This is not, we're not talking about blind, because so many people, because they think it, and they say, well, I've got faith for it, and they kind of go and do it, and they start to risk. Folks, faith, you know, when it's spelled R-I-S-K, it is first us spending time with the Lord, hearing from the Lord, knowing that the Lord has actually spoken about you doing that particular thing, whatever it might be. We've prayed, we've spent time with him, and we've heard. Now, at that point, you know, we know God has spoken to us. Now it becomes us stepping out. In other words, letting go of what we had so that we can embrace what he wants us to have as we step out. Okay. This thing of blind faith, there's too many of us. You know, we just go out and somehow do it and say, I've got faith for that. My question is, have we spent time with the Lord and have we heard from the Lord? And I'm talking about the big issues in life. I said a couple of weeks ago while we were doing James, you don't have to stand in front of your cupboard and say, oh, Lord, which shirteth shall I weareth todayeth? What color? The little decisions in your life you can go make all by yourself. But folks, life-changing decisions, we had better make sure that we have heard from the Lord. Okay? So, we need to ask ourselves this question. And I think this is a good question for us. Challenge ourselves. What is it that I can do right now that will put me in a position to finish well my time here on earth? What is it that I can do right now? And I can tell you right now, folks, that as you ask yourself that question, the Lord is already answering you. There are things that you are thinking about that He's already put His finger on and said, it might be, for example, you might be sitting here and you're not baptized. Okay, maybe that's a starting point. Well, that's something I need to do. And remember, being baptized is not being sprinkled. It means being totally immersed in water. Maybe that's a starting point. Maybe the Lord is saying to you, you know, you need to be more faithful at your job. You know, you're at your job, but, you know, the Bible's very clear. Even when it comes to our work, if we are working for somebody who employs us, that we do our job as unto the Lord. Maybe He's saying to you, hey, you know, do it as unto me. Just do it as unto me, instead of the way we are doing. So maybe that's a starting, okay? Maybe too, that, you know, we just have to be more faithful in terms of raising our children in the things of God, spending more time with them, making sure that we are filling them up with the gospel. Child growing up in that is not going to depart, the Bible says, ultimately. Maybe we need to be more faithful in terms of extending the kingdom. There's responsibilities on us in terms of extending the kingdom. You know, with maybe it's the finances and, you know, these sort of issues. Because for too long, we sit in place, you know, churches all around the world where there's a handful of people that are carrying it, you know, the 10% are carrying the 9%. 90%, it shouldn't be like that. Maybe it's that area. Maybe it's in the area where we need to be more committed to sharing our testimony. You know, your testimony, what the Lord has done in your life, is powerful, man. Okay? The Bible says, overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. When we share our testimony, that is just it's like the Lord anoints our testimonies. So let's go out there and share our testimony, you know, with people. So it might be a whole bunch of things. But folks, again, so what is it right now that God is actually saying to you and to me in our hearts that we can do now? We don't have to wait until next week. Now, what is He saying to us? Okay? Because these are the words that you and I should long to hear. When we come to the end of our journey, and we're going to come to the end of our journey, all of us. And these are the words we want to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. Amen.